Oh, if you'll join me in prayer. Good and gracious God, thank you. Thank you for coming to earth, taking on flesh, dwelling among us. God, thank you for a place where we can pause and remember that. Thank you for setting a time for us to remember all that you've done. As we meditate on your word tonight, God, guide our hearts and our minds. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Oh, please have a seat. And we got, don't worry, Tim, I won't ask you to sing anything else tonight without, like, I pulled an audible Sunday and you did so good. That was so fun. Hello, my Zoom friends. Tyler, your beard is looking amazing. We got Zoom friends that you can't see them, but they can see you. We're jumping in tonight. Question for you. Megan mentioned Charlie Brown Christmas special. Best Christmas movie ever. Die Hard? Okay. What was yours? Oh, wow, we got two votes for Die Hard. Nobody else wants to play? Oh, A Christmas Story. Oh, my brother got me the lamp. Is a little night. Oh, Elf is so good. And about for the 11 o'clock service, I'm going to be the four food groups of sugar, 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 and sugar. Yeah. Christmas shoes. That one makes me cry. Oh, it wrecks me. Another question. Now, this is a little trivia here for you. What is the best known Bible story? They actually studied this. Best known story, and I'm using story there. This is a story that Jesus told. And I'll give you a hint. It's known through a Christmas movie. My favorite version of this Christmas movie is this one, the one on the left, A Muppet Christmas Carol. Best known Bible story around the world. Somebody said that Scrooged was a better version, so we're just going to take a vote. Who thinks Muppet Christmas Carol? Who thinks Scrooged? I've never seen this one. Somebody told me Jim Carrey did a version. Has anybody seen that? It's not good. Okay, I was going to go home and watch it. It's so good. Okay, like always, the one side of the room disagrees with the other side of the room. Wow. So you guys can fight it out in the parking lot afterwards. It's thrown out. Okay, now some of you were going, okay, where's Pastor going with this? Chuck, Charles Dickens, this is how famous it is. Go ahead and hit the next one. Lego this year on Black Friday, if you bought $200 worth of Legos, you got the Charles Dickens Christmas Story for free. As a Lego toy. Why? Because that's how well known this Bible story is. But stop and think of it. What's the story? The story is you've got Ebenezer Scrooge, who is a very, very, very mean person who takes advantage of his workers. He doesn't take care of those who he's been entrusted with. And then he goes home, and he's visited that night by three ghosts, three spirits, three that have came from the dead and visit him. And because he's visited by the dead, he changes his life forever. Is that a good quick summary? Let me read the Bible story. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and crack them open. Because right now you're going, hold on, I don't remember that story in the Bible. This is the story. It's in Luke 16. And it starts in verse 19. And I say story because this is a story that Jesus told. The event is Jesus telling the story. But this is a story that Jesus told, a parable, if you will, to make the point. Oh, go ahead and click because it tells them where it is on the next slide. Oh, nope. There you go. Those were random Taylor Swift lyrics. We'll get there. This is what Jesus says. He says there's a rich man who was clothed in purple and linen, and who feasted sumptuously. It's a great word. I hope you all have sumptuous feasts. He feasted sumptuously every day. Who's that sound like? Ebenezer Scrooge. And at his gate laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed and who fell at the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. But the poor man died and was carried away to the angels at Abraham's side, and that's a euphemism for heaven. And the rich man also died and was buried in Hades. And being in torment, he lifted his eyes up and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in the water and cool my tongue because I'm in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things, but now he's comforted here, and you're in anguish. And beside all this, between us, there's this great chasm. In order that those who would pass from here may not be able to cross there from you to us. And so the rich man, Ebenezer Scrooge, if you will, said, Then I beg you, send him to my father, for I have five brothers, and warn them, lest also they come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if somebody goes from the dead, they will repent. And he said to them, If they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. So here's what happened. Charles Dickens knew that story that Jesus told, and he didn't like how it ended. He didn't like that Jesus has done everything he can to get our attention. That Jesus left, became flesh, and dwelt among us. That Jesus sent, that God, Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity, sent apostles and prophets a long time ago to tell us. They sent a church to tell the narrative, and still some people reject it. I asked a counselor to analyze this story for me. And they said, it's blame shifting. See, when somebody doesn't take responsibility for their actions and they just blame somebody else, oh, if you would have only done this better, then I wouldn't have hit you. It's a key that you're in an abusive relationship. See, that's what the rich man did, is he didn't like what God had done. He didn't like that he had rejected and God just hadn't done enough. And if God, if you would have done more, then I would have. And good old Chuck or Charles Dickens played with the idea, what if the dead visited? Would that make good old Ebenezer Scrooge repent? So good. Now when you're watching the Muppet Christmas special, you're going to be haunted because you're going to go, ooh. There's the Bible story. If you don't know this lyric, this young lady named Taylor Swift released an album, actually two albums this year. Why am I putting Taylor Swift lyrics up in the middle of a Christmas Eve service? Because I've learned that when you pay attention to what the kids are listening to, you catch the spirit of the age. You catch the zeitgeist. You see what people are saying. And honestly, if we don't pay attention to what the next generation is saying, when I'm an old man, older than I am right now, that's the spirit of the age. That's what's going to rule our land. And here's one of her lyrics that just should shake you to the core. I think I've seen that film before, and I didn't like the ending. See, that's the call of this age. I've seen it happen, and it didn't turn out well. That's what Charles Dickens did. He said, I've read this story, and I don't like the story, and so I'm going to change the story. And church, I think we got to get really, really honest about what's going on in the Christmas story, and let's not change the story. Let's return to the radical. Do you know this word? I learned this. Radical means root. Let's be a radical church. Let's return to the root of Christmas. This Anybody seen a nativity like that? Anybody got one like that at home? It's pretty. It's light. I loved it because a kid, and this was a farm kid down in Tennessee, they looked at this and I said, hey, tell me what you think of that. And this was the kid's response. Go ahead and click the slide. Where's the poo? By the way, I have to tell you, his sister loved to send my daughter texts, and that's a poop emoji. However, whenever something great was going on, she'd just send poop emoji, poop emoji, pooch emoji, poop emoji to my daughter. And finally, Adeline said, why are you sending me that image? And she goes, it's chocolate ice cream. We love to sanitize, don't we? We love that image of Christmas, but the question is, anybody else been around animals? Yeah, there's poop everywhere, isn't there? Jerry's giving me that amen look. He's like, yep. Yeah, you go out and you spend time shoveling it. And can we get a little bit honest? There's a lot more poop in our lives than we want to admit. Amen? There's things that I want to shovel and hide back here because I don't want you to see about me. And so we sanitize the Christmas story too, but tonight I want to actually read the Luke account. And the purpose is this, is let's not take the poop out of the story. Let's own the fact that Jesus entered into it. It's so easy to say Jesus became flesh and dwelt at Christmas time, but we put up this image of a manger that's so clean and so clear, and we forget that he entered into our mess of our lives, into the pain, into the struggle, but it's right there in this one narrative. So let's just read. Actually, I'm going to go old school and just read right off the screen. If you can just click through. Luke 2 is where we're at, and I think this is the ESV. The English Standard Version. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be registered. Don't miss what that means. See, what that means is that there was a new governor, and he wanted everybody to be registered so that he could tax them. Enter into the narrative. What's it like? Who remembers their first paycheck from your first job? Like your first real job? See, when I mowed lawns, I'd mow a lawn and they'd pay me $5 and they'd give me $5. That's what they used to pay. Now I think it's like $25. And then I started working at Balsa Rentals. Anybody remember Balsa Rentals? It was over there on Spy Run. They had the Volkswagen up on the pole. And I worked there, and I was being paid. Back then, it was $7.25 an hour. I was being paid $7.25 an hour, and I worked for 10 hours. And I got my paycheck, and I thought it was going to be $72.50. And I looked at it, and it was like $48. Why? Because there was a new governor in town. The tax system had changed. What I mean by that is I had to pay him for the first time in my life. See, don't miss that the world Jesus was born into was a world of taxation, a world where they were going, are we going to have enough to make ends meet? Is this new guy, this Caesar Augustus, going to take so much that we don't have enough? There was stress in the family. But Joseph, well, we'll just keep reading. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and all went to his town to be registered, each to his own town. If you pay attention, underline the his there. His, what's the gender of his? Male. Yeah, back then the dudes went to be registered. The ladies didn't have to. The guys registered for their whole family. That's the way they did it back then. Keep that in the back of your mind. And Joseph also went from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in the house and lineage of David to be registered with Mary. Why? She's pregnant. What did we say on Sunday? It was a 33-hour walk from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. 6-8 hours a day is all you're working in that. This is a week-long journey. Why did he take Mary with him? Why? Because Nazareth was a bad place. And his family, she was betrothed to him, but she wasn't his wife, and that brought shame on the family. And they didn't quite know what they do to pregnant Mary. Would they force an abortion? Would they murder her? I mean, what we do know is the next time Jesus shows up back in his own house, they take him to the edge. They take his brothers and his sisters in his town, take him to the edge of a cliff, and they're ready to throw him off. Why? Because that's how you deal with people that break the law, that break your social standards in Nazareth. It's a little hood. And so what does Joseph do? He takes Mary with him to keep her safe. He enters, Jesus is born into the ick, into the family tensions. Let's go ahead and click and we'll keep reading. And while they were there, this is in Bethlehem, it came time for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Oh man, we've sanitized that, haven't we? I mean, let's get really clear. There was no inn. That is a bad translation. This was a guest room. He was visiting his hometown. He was staying with relatives, but they couldn't make room in the guest room for him. Why? Because they were shaming them. They were going, "We don't want that in our house. You can stay back with the animals." In the ick, in the gross. Have you ever seen a woman giving birth? Yeah. Hear the cries. How would an animal react to that? How were the donkeys reacting? It wasn't a peaceful, silent night. And it gets even worse. See, in that same reason, there were shepherds. Shepherds were the dregs of the earth at that time. Shepherds were ritualistically unclean. Shepherds were not allowed to go to temple to worship because they had broken too many rules. They were the dregs of society. They were the outsiders. And they were out keeping watch over their flocks by night. What that means is even among the dregs of society, there's a hierarchy. Look at some of you that are multiple generation farmers, and you know what I'm talking about. You get to a certain age where you don't do work anymore. You let your kids do it. Yeah. And then you get to an age where when you're doing it, you let the little guys drive. They're the ones. Yeah, you're looking at me because you know you do it. Grandpa makes you bale the hay, doesn't he? Yeah, he's not doing it. So who's staying up all night? The kids. And anybody ever been up with a group of 10, 11, 12-year-old boys who are staying up all night? They follow all the rules, don't they? No, they're a little bit loud. And they fart on each other. That's what they do. Don't sanitize this. These are wild kids, and an angel shows up to them. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to him, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Please don't miss that, all people. That means even you. You've been told your whole life, you're not enough. You don't belong. You're stinky and you're smelly and you're not good enough to be part of the temple crowd. It's good news for all people. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with all the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those with whom he's pleased." And when the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, don't miss this, these are young, rambunctious kids. They don't say, "Hey, let's go get dad and ask for permission." They say, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Click. And the angel, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those with whom he's blessed. And the angel went away, and the shepherds, oh wow, I double did that slide. And they went, in case you missed it, they went with haste. That means they were all the louder and all the more rambunctious. Now I'm going to stop and let you catch up here for a second. Go ahead and click to the next slide. Anybody else annoyed by the little drummer boy story? Anybody else spent 8 hours getting a colicky kid to finally fall asleep and then somebody makes the noise in the other room? Little drummer boy got nothing on the shepherds. And the shepherds show up. Click. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told concerning this child. Here's why this is so important this year. See, I don't want to rip on Thomas Kincaid. I see what he's going for. He's not going for a literal, this is what the manger looked like. He's going that there's a beauty in this narrative. There's a beauty that God of all creation humbled himself and was born into all the ick of the narrative. But don't miss it, because so often we think Jesus is born into sanitization and we won't let him into our ick, into our poo, into our struggles, into our 2020, into our doubt, into our frustration. Jesus was born into that. See, the story isn't just about a manger. Click. The story goes to a cross. An ugly, gross cross. When you're suffering, like so many of you have this year, remember the cross. That you don't suffer alone, that God, who was born at Christmas, went to the cross for you. Yes, so that you can be with him forever in heaven, but also so that you don't have to, for a second, think that you're suffering alone. See, when we don't like the story, we've fallen into this habit of just trying to change the ending. But the cross isn't the ending. Heaven is. I Googled, because I wanted to put up an image for heaven, and I couldn't find one, so I Googled paradise, and that's where it is. Just in case you wanted to know, 3,360-some miles from here is paradise. Google Maps can teach you that. But then I zoomed in, And I don't know if you can see this, but when you look at it, that's the zoomed-in version of Paradise. And if you look really closely, just north is Mineral Slade. And then there's Irish Town. And just to the west of Irish Town is Helltown. See, this side of heaven, we're not going to escape the forces of evil trying to nip at our heels, trying to break us, bringing disease and suffering and pain. But this Christmas, know that that's what Christ entered into. Because of that, all the songs make sense. All the pictures make sense, not on a literal level. It wasn't a silent night. But there was silence in your soul. Because you knew, even though it wasn't all right, because of Christ born at Christmas, it would all be all right. So as we meditate on that, let's just join our voices together and sing. Or do I pray first?
We need the band up here.